This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying the Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134, and this is Lesson 3, Psalm 122. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Give us an excitement and an enthusiasm to worship you. Replace in us our lethargy with enthusiasm to serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What excitement in the household. We're going to Jerusalem for Passover. We're leaving the humdrum life of the village and field, and we're going to Jerusalem, the beloved holy city. I'm reading Psalm 122, verses 1 through 9, a song of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. I was 4 or 5 when I memorized verse 1 in Sunday school. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I think the idea was to implant in little children the idea of happiness and excitement about going to church, our house of the Lord, and I went with my family every Sunday. But for the Jewish faithful gathering in their towns to make the pilgrimage together, it was the house of the Lord in Jerusalem that they were thinking about, the temple, for in it was the Ark of the Covenant, figuratively the throne or seat of the Almighty King. Going to Jerusalem meant going to God's capital, God's palace. For this reason, Jerusalem was a very special place. The first temple, of course, was completed by Solomon about 960 BC. By all accounts, it was grand and beautiful, awe-inspiring. But when Judah persisted to sin against the Lord, it was destroyed in 587 BC by the Babylonians, and tens of thousands of the remaining residents of Jerusalem were either killed or marched off into exile in faraway Babylon. A remnant returned beginning in 537 BC, and by 520 BC had rebuilt the temple. This second temple, as it is called, wasn't so large or so grand as Solomon's temple, but it became for the people of God a focus, a place where they honored Yahweh and worshiped him. Finally, beginning about 20 BC, Herod the Great greatly expanded and ornamented the temple. So when Jesus went to Jerusalem as a boy on pilgrimage with his parents, the site of the temple on Mount Zion was a source of awe. Jesus spent many happy days in the temple as a child, asked probing questions of the resident biblical scholars when he was 12, and later, as an adult, taught and healed within its courts. This psalm, which we can classify as a hymn, is attributed to David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." In David's day, the house of the Lord was a dream, an ambition, for the ark rested in Jerusalem in a tent David had pitched for it, anticipating the day that was to come. More on that on day 13, Psalm 132, verse 5. Nevertheless, going to Jerusalem to worship the Lord brought the people great joy. David was so overcome that he danced before the Lord as the ark came into the city. I was glad when they said to me. The word in Hebrew denotes being glad or joyful in one's whole being, heart, soul, and eyes alit with wonder. Verses 2 and 3, "Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together." Now the psalmist seems to have come within the city gates, awestruck, reverently addressing the city, O Jerusalem, what impressive walls, what mighty gates! For those from the towns and villages of Israel, this city is dense with dwellings and government buildings, is a city closely compacted together, no suburban sprawl here. Verse 4, Jerusalem, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The Mosaic law stipulates that once the Lord has designated the place to make his name dwell there, Deuteronomy 12:11, first at Shiloh, later at Jerusalem, then the Israelites are to gather there three times a year for religious feasts: Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, March and April, Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, May or June, and Feast of Booths or Ingathering, mid-October. These were times to bring an offering and rejoice, a celebration, Deuteronomy 10:11-12. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the contribution that you present, and all your finest vow offerings that you vow unto the Lord, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. Singing these songs of ascent as they travel to Zion serves to heighten their anticipation of coming into the glorious city to worship the Lord. Jerusalem is not only known for worship. As the capital of the nation, it is also the center of justice, verse 5. There, thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Yahweh has always been known as the God of justice, the judge of all the earth. Deuteronomy 34:4, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. His justice is not swayed by the social status or wealth of the person who appears before his court. Deuteronomy 10:17-18, the Lord your God is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Just as Yahweh is righteous and gives just judgment, so kings and all judges are expected to provide the same impartial quality of righteous judgment. Though there were judicial systems in the various towns and villages, Jerusalem was where the hard cases were brought. A citizen could ultimately appeal to the king himself to hear his case. Thus the psalmist lauds the judgment or justice seats of David's dynasty. The psalmist has been enjoying the beauty and justice of the holy city. Now he turns to pray for Zion. He can't take for granted what he sees now. He pleads for its preservation. Psalm 122:6-7. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers. In his great penitential psalm, David prays something similar, Psalm 51:18. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure, and build up the walls of Jerusalem. Peace, shalom, is a rich word that goes far beyond the absence of conflict. It refers to completion and fulfillment, a state of wholeness and unity, a restored relationship. Here the psalmist seems to have military peace on his mind, since the word occurs with concepts of walls and security, but also prosperity that needs absence of conflict to flourish. In America, we have been blessed to have avoided war on our soil for more than 150 years, so we tend to take peace for granted. But for much of the world, especially in the Middle East, both then and now, war was a constant threat, so security and keeping strong walls in good repair are vital to survival. Peace is precious. Psalm 122:8-9. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Verses 8 and 9 are parallel. Both contain a preposition meaning for the sake of. There are two things that concern the psalmist. People, the welfare of his friends and relatives who live within the city, and two, the temple, the security of God's house. The psalmist offers two responses to his concerns. One, blessing or benediction over Jerusalem, may shalom be within you, and deliberate actions that promote the good or welfare of the city. Of course, we need to pray for peace in Jerusalem today and for peace in Israel and the surrounding countries. Peace is precious. But in the New Testament, Zion takes on a character that far surpasses a physical city. Zion becomes the symbol of a people, the people of God. The writer of Hebrews says about the kingdom of the Messiah, Jesus, "You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven." Hebrews 12:22-23. In the book of Revelation, John the Revelator sees a vision of the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, Revelation 21:1-2. The holy city in heaven is comprised of God's holy people who have been redeemed. So where is Zion today? In physical Jerusalem, at least when God's presence dwelt there in the temple. In heaven, yes. But here too, on earth, where outposts of the heavenly Zion meet in communities of God's people, who worship, partake of the sacraments together, hear the word, and testify to the power of Christ in our midst. We live in a time when many Christians are disconnected from local congregations, when people can say, and believe it themselves, "I don't have to go to a church to be a Christian." As a result, the walls of Zion are broken down. The health of the city of God here on earth is poor. The impact of its might is weakened. Hebrews 10:25. "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Today, when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we also need to pray for the shalom of communities of the King in our towns and cities. Instead of letting others know that we don't agree with every doctrine or trumpet aloud that this minister or that deacon has weaknesses, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and put feet to our prayers. Let us say and do once more the words we learned as children, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Let's pray together. Father, you have nurtured my spiritual life in your church, your house, since childhood. Thank you. Thank you for the men and women who have been examples to me of what Christ's character looks like. Thank you for gradually maturing me through your word that is preached weekly in your house. I pray for my brothers and sisters that they might find a house of God in their communities and be faithful in it, despite its flaws. Let them add to the brilliance of the glory of God in your house with their own lives that display your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our Day 3 Meditation on Psalm 122. Why do people desert the house of God in our day? Why do so many Christians believe that they can mature in Christ without the help of Christ's people? How can you pray for the peace of God's house? What can you do to seek the good of God's house? May God richly bless you as you study and serve Him today. Amen.